أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وطبيب نفوسنا وحبيب قلوبنا أبا القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، لا سيما بقية الله روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفدا. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. يا ليتنا كنا معكم سادتي فنفوز فوزا عظيما.
سلام. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum jami'an wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. وعظم الله أجورنا وأجوركم بمصابنا بالحسين وأولاد الحسين وأصحاب الحسين عليهم أفضل الصلوات والتحيات. Normally I dedicate my talks on Fridays to mention something about Imam al-Hujjah عجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف, our present Imam, as Friday is dedicated to him. And according to some narrations, whether Friday or maybe most likely Saturday is the day that we are expecting the appearance of Imam al-Hujjah Jalallahu Farajahu Sharif. Which Saturday it will be, wallahu a'lam. Definitely one of the duties that we have in our time, the time of major occultation, the time that our Imam is around, alive and around, but because of what we have done in general, we are deprived of the blessing of seeing him. Not as much as the previous imams could be seen and visited by their followers, unfortunately. So one of the duties that we have is to always maintain our faith, as inshallah I will come back to this topic after a bit of introduction, and to get to know our imams. Again, I want to, cutting a long story short, tell you something that leaves us, inshallah, with no doubt. And this is an argument that no one really can debate you on it when it comes to the issue of the imamate. Again, to be proud of yourself and be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the blessing of the imamate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to all of us, that we are exposed, inshallah, and we know the imams of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam as the most infallible and the right successors and khulafa after the Prophet of Islam. There is a hadith that even the book of Al-Bukhari, Sahih Al-Bukhari, a book that was very much deliberately compiled to filter anything about the virtues of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. Anyone compares Sahih Al-Bukhari with Sahih Muslim and other books of Ahlul Sunnah, easily come to this conclusion that the author of the Sahih al-Bukhari has been very deliberate to minimize to almost zero any hadith that will give any credit to the household of the Prophet. So much so that you see the author, although he was living at the time of Imam Hadi and Imam al-Askari alayhim as-salam, he is not even quoting any hadith from the Prophet through Imam Hassan Askari or Imam Hadi. You are expecting him, like if I want to quote something from someone that whose offspring are still around, you are expecting me that at least have mentioned something about the biography of that great figure through you go to his household, you ask his offspring, his children about it. Imam Hadi and Imam Askari have been around at his time, yet he is not asking, he is not quoting any hadith, even through them as a simple narrator, to avoid anything through the chains of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Yet we see he is quoting ahadith through people that were like Umran, who is one of the Khawarij, one of the enemies of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, and many of them. He is quoting hadith through Umar ibn Sa'ad, the perpetrator of Karbala. Isn't this strange? That you see from such figures, they are narrating ahadith, but they are not narrating anything. And when they ask him that, how come that the whole world is saying, حدثني جعفر ابن محمد, I heard this from Imam Sadiq عليه السلام, how come you're not narrating anything from Imam Sadiq? He said, في نفسي منه شيءٌ, I have some issues in my heart about جعفر ابن محمد. SubhanAllah, what do you have in your heart about جعفر ابن محمد? That the leaders of the old Mazahab, they were proud of following, you know, studying under him. Anyway, even Bukhari could not have filtered that hadith, and therefore this hadith is even in Sahih Bukhari. So you can tell that this is definitely a hadith that the Prophet has said it. Shia have narrated it in detail, with explanations of course, as originally said by the Prophet. Sunnis have narrated it. Even Bukhari in his Sahih, he has narrated it, Bab al-Istikhlaf. What is the hadith? Jabir ibn Samurid, back then at the time of the Prophet, he says, I was a young kid. With my dad, we attended the mosque and we heard the Prophet giving a sermon. In his talk, the Prophet goes that لا يزال هذا الدين غائما ما كان إثنا عشر خليفة. This religion of Islam will stay on the right path as long as there are 12 successors after me. Then Jabir says, and I'm quoting according to the narration of Bukhari, Jabir says that the Prophet continued something and I could not hear. Later on I asked my father, I said, Dad, what did the Prophet said after that? He said, the Prophet said, كلهم من قريش. All those 12 successors are from the clan, from the tribe of Quraysh. For your information, you know that in Mecca we had the big clan, the big tribe of Quraysh, and they had families underneath of them. Bani Hashim was one of the branches of the tree of Quraysh, one of the families, in fact the most noble family of the big clan and the tribe of Quraysh. Imam Ali alayhi salam, later on he says that that's very true, the Prophet has said that, and the Abu Bakr justifies his khilafah, ignoring the fact that they go to the tree, but they forgot the fruit of the tree. Bani Hashim are the fruit of the tree of Quraysh. And when the Prophet says, كلهم من قريش, the Prophet is talking about Bani Hashim, us, Imam Ali being the first one. Now, one question I have, and I remember some 20 years ago when I was in Nigeria, in Western Africa, I met one of the very eminent Sunni scholars, and I wasn't there anymore. A couple of years, three maybe years later, I heard that he became a Shia, and yes, he is now a very practicing Shia, alhamdulillah. I met him and, you know, in his house, and a discussion came up, and the issue of these 12 successors came up. And I asked him that, Shaykh, what is the meaning of this hadith in Sahih Bukhari? I'm a little bit puzzled. Could you please interpret it? Who are these 12 khulafa after the Prophet? I knew that. I had already done my homework. I knew he's going to be dumbfounded. But I deliberately played dumb. And I said that, who are these 12 khulafa that the Prophet is talking about? I'm not okay. I'll get back to you on that. I said, please make sure you get back to me on that. Because Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali ibn Abi Talib, Muawiyah. Do we go to Yazid as well? Is it possible that the Prophet says that even if Yazid is the Khalifa, there is regional Islam is staying on the right path? We go for the sake of going with the order Yazid, and then, but we need 12. How do you go? Either the number exceeds 12 if you go to Bani al-Abbas, or less than 12 if you stick to which direction should we go? Who are these 12? Imaginary khulafa that the Prophet is talking about. Give me examples for what the Prophet has said. And definitely that's what the Prophet has said. You have even narrated it. Few months later, I went to the same city and I met with him again and I said, Shaykhana, I'm still waiting. What happened? He said that I checked the Irshad al-Sari, I checked Ibn Hajar, Sharh Ibn Hajar, all the shuruh and the commentaries of Bukhari, and I'm not satisfied with any answer given by them. I said, Shaykhana, the answer is very simple. You ask one of the kids of the Shia community, they give you the answer to the words of the Prophet. You don't need to be so philosophical. You don't need to. The Prophet speaks the truth and simple, plain truth. Ali ibn Abi Talib, Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein. And until some years ago, if you've been to Hajj like 10 years ago, 6 years ago even, you would have seen it in Madinatul Nabi, in Masjidul Nabi, the names of the 12 Imams, from Imam Ali to Imam Mahdi, was in fact, they were tiles right above. Beneath the ceiling. Recently they have removed them because they noticed that the Shia is taking advantage of that. They removed them, trying to just eliminate the names of Ahlul Bayt and Muslim, because they had them in their riwayat. They have so many riwayat that it says that even Imam Mahdi is from the children of Minwald Fatima, clearly from the offspring of Fatima, the daughter of the Prophet. There is absolutely no even fabricated hadith. Even Abu Huraira has not fabricated a hadith that the Mahdi is from Wald Abu Bakr or Umar or Uthman, huh? So this is what the Shia is talking about. The presentation of what we believe is so simple. Ayatollah Hassan Zadeh, one of my very eminent teachers in philosophy, he was saying that for Shia to prove his point, we don't need even any single book of hadith that we have. Yani we don't need to go to Kafi, to any of the Kutub al-Arba'ah. The books of Ahlul Sunnah wal-Jama'ah is more than enough for us to prove what we want. And that's why you see our scholars like Allama Sharafuddin, Rahmatullah Alayhi, in Al-Muraja'at, he does not refer to one single hadith from the Shia side, all from the Sunni side. So one of the examples of many examples tonight, because it's about Imam Mahdi, I wanted to touch on this. Very humble, and we are not interested in debate. We don't mean to insult anyone. But brothers, at the end of the day, you and I, when we pray, isn't it that in our salat, say, Ihdina sarat al-mustaqim, guide us to the right path? I want to be guided to the right path. I want to make sure that I'm following the right leaders. How am I supposed to know who is the right leaders? I listen to the one who lie. وَمَا يَنْتَبُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. The only one who speaks absolute truth and all what he says is the revelation was the Prophet of Islam. You guys have narrated in your best book that you take a note that it's a book of the words of the Prophet, Sahih Bukhari, that the Prophet says that if you want to stay on the right path, follow 12 successors, my 12 successors. And these are the 12 successors. You have riwayat that also says that Mahdi that will come at the end of the day, appear at the end of the day, is from the children of Fatima. Exactly, that's the order that we say. Yes, your ahadith have a bit of distortion here. Many of their ahadith, they say that he is from the children of Imam Hassan, from the offspring of Imam Hassan. We say that either there is tashif. Tashif, it means that because in the old days, Arabic writing didn't have the dots like today, like Kufi, calligraphy style. So either you have misread Hussein to Hassan, or there is a distortion deliberately happened. As many examples we have that distortion happened in your riwayat. Why? Because you have compiled your books of hadith more than a century after it was said by the Prophet. So there's a big chance that your books are a bit distorted. Otherwise, it's definitely true that the offspring and what do you call it, lineage of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Besides, there is a hadith, again, all of us, all Muslims have narrated, it's not a Shia Sunni issue, that to this effect, the wording a little bit may differ, but the meaning is exactly the same. Man mata, the Prophet says, man mata wa lam ya'rif imam zamaneh mata mitatan jahiliyyah. Whoever dies not knowing who is the Imam of his time has died the death of Jahiliyyah. What is the death of Jahiliyyah? The death of Jahiliyyah is an expression for dying not as a Muslim or as a proper Muslim, as people of the Jahiliyyah pre-Islamic era would die like that. Now, if that's the Prophet had said that if you die without knowing the death, the Imam of your time, at the time of Imam Ali, we had the Imam of our time. At the time of the Prophet himself was the Imam of his time. Because that Imam, that leadership is a divine leadership. The same Imam, a title that applied to Prophet Ibrahim, إِنِّي جَعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا, definitely by far applies to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Because surely, in a literal sense of it, a prophet is a guide as well, is a leader as well. So no doubt that prophets are imams, not all of them, especially the law-making prophets like Prophet of Islam. But as successors, as khalifa after the Prophet had said there are 12. You say 12, you don't have in your books clearly, at least in your famous books, you don't have the names. We have in our books even the names, one after the other, have been mentioned. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke with one of his companions. His name is Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari. And says, Ya Jabir, you will live long enough, and he did. You will live long enough to see my fifth Khalifa, whose name will be like mine, Imam Muhammad al-Baqir, Imam Muhammad al-Ali, Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam. And Jabir, he says that I was old when I saw Muhammad ibn Baqir, Imam Muhammad al-Baqir, and I greeted him, and I said that your grandfather had given me the glad tidings that I will live long enough to be at your time to see you. All right? These are the Imams of Ahlul Bayt. This concept of if I die not knowing the Imam of my time was so well known and a very renowned hadith in early time of Islam, that the son of the second Khalifa, Abdullah ibn Umar, this is after the tragedy of Karbala. Abdullah ibn Umar, one night he makes his way all the way from Medina, goes to Kufa. This is the time that Zubayriyin and Uthmaniyin had the control over the then Iraq. He goes to Kufa to pay allegiance to the governor of Kufa, Abdullah ibn Muqi'. And when he arrived in the city, it was after midnight. The palace was, of course, locked. And the guards don't let him in. They say that, no, you can't come. This is not business hours. Come tomorrow. He says, no, I've got something very urgent to do. I've come all the way from Medina to pay allegiance to Khalifa, because he's the Imam of my time. I've got something very serious to tell him. They inform Abdullah ibn Muqi, and Abdullah says that, all right, this is the son of the then Khalifa, let him in. He comes in, subhanAllah, the history says that the guy, Abdullah ibn Muqi, so-called Khalifa, so-called Amirul Mu'mineen, he was drunk in his harem with all the women around him. And as like he's just lying down holding a bottle of alcohol, Abdullah ibn Umar walks in. Salaamu alaykum ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. Amir al-Mu'mineen, the commander of the believers, Khalifa Rasulullah. This is the title that they had given to themselves. Yes, what has brought you here this time of the night, this, you know, interrupting us? He says that because of one hadith I remember from the Prophet, man mata wa lam ya'arif imama zamanih mata mitatan jahiliya. I don't wish to die before I pay allegiance to you. Now you become the Khalifa, I have to pay allegiance to you before I die, otherwise I'm going to die as a jahil, as a kafir. And the guy, la'natullah alayhi, he says that, do you see that my hand is busy, I'm holding a bottle of wine, my foot is free, you may shake hand with my foot with all respect. Yani, this is the mentality of these people. The reason that I share with you this piece of history to tell you that how much they believed that we had to know the Imam of our time. Of course, the application that they had found was obviously wrong. Not realizing that is, astaghfirullah, I don't want to. Not realizing that he didn't need to make a trip from Medina to Kufa. The Imam of his time, Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, was in Medina. Was in Medina, and yet, subhanAllah, he goes to Kufa paying allegiance to the foot of a drunken person because he doesn't want to die the death of Jahiliyyah. This practice shows that these people, they knew that there is always an Imam at every time. Now, By saying so, I want to prove another point. Because one of the arguments that majority of Sunnis, again, based on the distortion, unfortunately, they have in their books of Hadith, is that they say that, yes, we believe that Mahdi will come. Imam Mahdi is not deniable. No Muslim can deny his existence, that at the end of the day he will come and spread global justice. But they say that, but Imam Mahdi is not born yet. He is to be born. This is the opinion of majority of Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. They say he will be born, yes, he will be from the offspring of Fatima. But he will be born later. In response to that, we say that, but what about this hadith that you have narrated that brought Abdullah ibn Umar from Medina to Kufa? Man mata wa lam ya'arif imam azaman. Who is the imam of our time now? In this present time. After Imam Hassan al-Askari, up until no more than millennium has passed, who has been the imam of the previous centuries and up until now? And God knows when Imam Mahdi is going to appear. Who will? So there is no imam of our time. Only at the time of the prophets, at the time of the Prophet of Islam, at the time of the 11 imams, there was imam of time. In our time, it's okay if you die the death of Jahiliyyah. Does it make sense? Do you see that it doesn't make sense with the, it's not, this concept is not compatible with the hadith that you are narrating. It's only compatible if you take it that, yes, the 12 successors after the Prophet came, one after the other, and the 12th one was born. His father is known as Imam Hassan al-Askari alayhi salam. Otherwise, if somebody is to be born at the end of the end of the life of man on earth, God knows when, how can we prove that he is Manwulda Fatima? How can we prove that he is from the offspring of Imam Hassan al-Askari alayhi salam especially? Whereas if it's a direct lineage, it's very simple to understand. One issue only will be left here that is sort of puzzling them. And I've sat with their scholars and spoken with them, and they said, yes, we understand that one. And that is the issue of longevity. You know what is longevity? The long life of Imam Mahdi. They say that, well, okay, but how can you say that a human lives over a millennium, man? More than 1,000 years he's been living. I say to them that at least as a Muslim, you are not supposed to be wondered on this. As a Muslim, deliberately Allah, you know, Quran, this is not the style of the Quran. Even on the issue of Ashab al-Kisa, there has been an ongoing debate. How many people were people of the cave? Deliberately, Quran doesn't give you any name. Sometimes it says six, wa kalbuhum sabi'ahum. Then the kalbuhum thaminuhum, more or less, and at the end, God doesn't give you any precise number because that's not the issue of concern. So what, how many are they? But exceptionally on certain issues, Quran is very precise, unlike the Bible that gives exactly the date, how many years Prophet Adam lived, how many years so and so lived, that sometimes scientifically creates a problem. Quran exceptionally on the issue of Prophet Nuh, Prophet Noah exceptionally mentioned that وَلَبِثَ فِي قَوْمِهِ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ إِلَّا خَمْسِينَ عَامًا. He lived in his community during his mission for 950 years. So that tomorrow if you hear a human lives about a millennium, you won't be surprised. This is exactly clearly mentioned in the Quran. As a Sunni, if you believe in the Quran, you should believe that Prophet Nuh, the period of the mission of Prophet Nuh lasted 950 years, not the lifespan. Rawayat said that he lived more than 2,000 years. His mission period was only 950 years, as explicitly mentioned in the Quran. So if it is possible for Prophet Nuh, it is possible for somebody else. Besides, Sunni and Shia are unanimous that Prophet Idris is still alive. And millenniums is believing. Shia and Sunni are unanimous that Khidr, that there is a discussion whether he was a prophet or Abd Saleh, as Quran refers to, very, very strange person with a strange personality, that the Rawal says that he had access to the water of life, Ma al Hayat, to live in this world until the day of judgment or God decides otherwise, still is alive. Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam says, I met Khidr. Imam Ali alayhi salam says that this Dua al-Kumail, as sometimes known as Dua al-Khidr, this dua al-Khad, I heard it from Khidr. Before Imam Ali says that I recited, Khidr was reciting it. Alright? So, as Muslims, that you have this in your evidence as well, why do you wonder that now an offspring of the Prophet lives more than 1,000 years? Scientifically, even it is not impossible. The issue of longevity and the possibility of because this is a medical discussion even today still, that are we destined to age and die, or is it possible to get rid of aging? As some signs of aging is possible to get rid of, is it possible to that the science, medicine reaches a stage that we can really treat aging, that you don't age anymore? Possibility is there. Still, the man of our age has not been able to achieve that. But no scientist says that this is impossible. They say we cannot do it. But not that it's impossible. So don't distort your religion just because something is not possible in our hand to do it. In as much as you don't distort your religion to tell and say that, you know, today Christians, some liberal Christians, they deny the immaculate birth of Jesus. They say that Mary, excuse me, they said Mary must be naughty and, you know, just messing around. And now they try to cover it up. They say that it was a original or immaculate birth. Astaghfirullah. This is not what Muslims believe. Some liberal Christians today, they say this as Muslims, say, no, it was a miracle. Even if medicine, if science cannot do that, but it was a miracle. All right? Likewise, when it comes for Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, ajalallahu farajahu sharif, rest assured, have no doubt, Sunni and Shia have narrated that the 12 Khulafa after the Prophet are coming one after the other, and the issue of longevity is there. And we 100% believe that our Imam, ajalallahu farajahu sharif, may God hasten his reappearance, is alive and around. The Rawayat says that he is like Prophet Yusuf, that his brothers, they would see him, but they did not recognize him. Just let's make sure that you and I, we don't mistreat the Yusuf of our time. How do we mistreat him? If he comes to my shop, for example, if he comes to my gathering, I talk for myself, you talk for yourself. I was talking to a brother who had the garage, his mechanic, and I said to him that, Habibi, mumkin Imam Mahdi ajalallahu farajahu sharif comes. That wasn't in Sweden, but it's possible for him to come to Sweden as well. They do Tayyul Ard. Sheikh Bahjat was asking about Tayyul Ard. Tayyul Ard means that people who make a trip from one part of the world to another in the blink of an eye. We have this in the story of Prophet Suleiman and the minister of Suleiman. Huh? Ayatollah Bahjat said, Tayyul Ard is easy. Ask me Tayyul Sama. Subhanallah. He said, what? It's not a big deal to do Tayyul Ard. Ask me what Tayyul Sama. That is difficult. Anyway, so Imam Mahdi can do easily Tayyul Ard. Come to Sweden, come to your shop. And one of the forbidden parts of transactions is غش في المعاملة, cheating. So if he brings his car, and I'm just putting a second-hand part in the form of a brand new, and like deceiving him, cheating him, you may think that, no, come on, Imam Mahdi, does he really need to drive a Mercedes to come to my shop to get the part changed? I tell you, maybe, maybe not, I don't know. But what I know for sure is that Imam Mahdi, ajalallahu farajahu sharif's style of life is the same as Imam al-Sadiq and all the Imams. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says that whoever is cheating a Shia, whoever is cheating a Muslim is cheating me. So if I'm cheating you, I'm cheating Imam Mahdi. I cannot claim I love him. Alright? Because Imam Mahdi cares about his followers and his lovers. If I really love him, I have to love his lovers as well. Now, the remaining of the time, just I want to touch on it so that inshallah sort of I have answered to the request of the sister who asked last time to talk on the issue on that sermon of Muttaqin with Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
What would be the expectation of my dear Imam, Imam al-Hujjah ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, from me as a shaykh, from you brothers and sisters, and from all of us as believers and lovers of, inshallah, Imam al-Mahdi? What is he expecting us to do? Some people they think that they have to see Imam Mahdi, and they always they ask Sheikh, what can I do to see Imam Mahdi, whether in my dream or real? Yani doing some arba'iniyat to so that I can see Imam Mahdi. I tell you that again. I'm quoting from Ayatollah Bahjat, who is like the teacher of all of us in all of this practically. He said, more than important than seeing Imam Mahdi is to please Imam Mahdi. Why are you so keen to see Imam Mahdi? Isn't it enough that he sees you? For sure he sees us. Rest assured that he sees us. That's enough for, that should be enough. He says that that actually concerns me and worries me more. Because I have this concern that in which status he sees me in. And what is more important than seeing him? Because if I see him, then there would be a great, great responsibility on me. يَوْمَ يَأْتِي بَعْضُ آيَاتِ رَبِّكَ لَا يَنْفَعُ نَفْسًا إِيمَانُهَا لَمْ تَكُنْ آمَنَتْ مِنْ قَبْلُ أَوْ كَسَبَتْ فِي إِيمَانِهَا خَيْرًا. Quran in Surah Al-An'am says that on the day that some of the great signs of God has come to you, like you had the honor and blessing of seeing Imam Mahdi, imagine what God has shown you, a miracle. Because this is not something that everyone would be blessed with. And once you have seen the miracle, then imagine of the responsibility on you. I cannot makaran after that anymore. Definitely, those who had the pleasure of seeing the Prophet of Islam, surely they had more responsibility than you and I. Alright? So, Ayatollah Bahjan and such eminent scholars, they say that be more concerned about what would please my Imam. That is the main thing. And I tell you that Wallahi al-Azim, and see that this is a very strong oath I took. To the best of my knowledge, as someone who has spent more than 30 years studying Islam, I tell you that the message of Imam Mahdi, if he was sitting, and I wish he was sitting here talking for us, addressing all of us, and I would like you kneeling before him, the message of Imam Mahdi would be one main message. And that's what I want to share with you tonight, in the night that is dedicated to him. وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ زَادِ التَّقْوَى. Make sure you've come to this dunya to take a provision for your akhirah. The best provision is the provision of taqwa. Don't come to me on the day of judgment, says Imam Mahdi, having sins on you, claiming that you love me, claiming that you cried for my grandfather Hussein ibn Ali, but you've been the most sinful person or one of the sinful people in your area. It doesn't work like this. If sinning would not make any difference, why wouldn't we enjoy our life? The Imams of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, and how hard they had gone through it. So the purification of the heart, taqwa, to make sure that we meet our obligations deliberately, we don't avoid any sin, we don't commit a sin deliberately. If we sleep, I'm not ma'asum, you are not ma'asum, and we are not expected to be ma'asumin, sinless. But at least deliberately we shouldn't sin. And that's why a mu'min is the one that once he's reminded, says, astaghfirullah, I'm sorry, yes, I shouldn't have said that. Whether it's coming from his wife, it's coming from his friend, it's coming from his kids. Your 6 years old daughter turns around and says that, Dad, you are gossiping. Astaghfirullah. Dad, Mom, you are lying. Astaghfirullah, I shouldn't have said it. You are right, Ali. Darling, you are right. I shouldn't have said it. Not that you're upset and who the hell are you to correct me. No. This is not the attitude of the lover of Imam Mahdi, Ajallallah Farajah al-Sharif. Alright? Some people, they take offense if they watch the poor head. She would never dare commenting on her husband. Like as if she's commenting on a king. We should not live like this. I always tell brothers, and I'm sorry to maybe go a little bit off the point, but it's not. The sign of humbleness is not just that I'm praying and I'm doing sajda. The way that I live with my, with my family also matters how humble I am. The sign of a humbleness is that if somebody is commenting on you, of course, don't humiliate, don't comment on your husband in front of others. Privately speak with each other. in publicly protect your husband, protect your wife, but privately, if he is wrong, if she is wrong, correct each other and allow each other to be corrected by each other. Who better than your wife to correct you? Who better than your husband to correct you? All right? Gently, nicely, but make sure that you receive it. Otherwise, if today my wife and my children respect me just because they are in need of me for financial reasons or for whatever reasons, or for her, she's scared of her the reputation of her family or things like that, come tomorrow, I'm gonna get sick. I might have told you that my mother passed away last year. She had leukemia, and because of her, I frequently go into the hospitals, from hospital to hospital. I had seen the last 2 years so many patients that maybe in my life I had not seen. Believe me, young, strong guys I had seen, that his father was saying that he was a wrestler. He was a very strong boy. In his early 30s, all of a sudden diagnosed with a MS or certain kind of disease that is still unknown what this is. And the guy could not even grab a glass of water to drink, a wrestler, a champion. Within few months, he was so bedridden that his dad was pouring some drops of water to his mouth because his mouth was so dry. This is the end of the life of a human. This is how weak we can become. So there's no room for arrogance, really. Taqwa and piety means that in terms of my relation with God, in terms of my relation with my fellow humans. And you know what? I'll be very honest with you. Tonight is the second last night. Last night will be the last session we're going to have, brothers, sisters. Unfortunately, sometimes publicly we become very hypocritical. Yani, you don't know my reality, my personality, unless you check me with my family. Unless my family, I usually say that sheikhs whose wives are praying behind them are just, you can pray behind them. Because if my wife sees me as a just and adil person and says pray behind me, then you can say that he's adil. Why? Because publicly, for business purposes, for my reputation as a sheikh, or all of us, alhamdulillah, as mu'mineen, multaheen, that we have a, you know, earn the respect, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sattar al-uyub, we somehow act not necessarily how we are. And that's why with our family, we are being ourselves. So when we are being ourselves, the personality, the real characters of people can be measured. If I'm kind and nice and humble and understanding with my family, then I'm a nice and kind person. Not with my students that... you know, for God knows, for some political reasons, I tend to be very cool and nice. nice sheikh. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. My wife is not here, but she usually listens to the lectures. Rest assured, all right? And she knows me, and trust me, I'm not. Sure, I don't need to show off to you, but alhamdulillah, she's so nice to pray behind me. Not because I'm good, but she's so nice that she comes when you're together. She usually prays. We pray at home together. It's actually a good habit if you can do it. Alhamdulillah, you know how to pray as Muslims, and don't be too fussy. If you cannot come to the masjid and pray here at home, arrange it with your family members. Husband, stay forward. Your wife prays behind you. Your children pray behind you. Family pray at home. Believe me, has a lot of blessing. First, brings family member together. It's not only dinner time that we have to sit together and eat dinner together. Let's pray together. Those who pray together live together. I've experienced that. And when your children, they pray behind you, and subhanAllah, once they pray behind me, I have to behave myself after that, you know? They have given me a respect. Now they pray behind me, so I would behave better. Automatically, it betters me in the way that I deal with my family members. Sallu ala Muhammad again. Sallallahu alayk ya Aba Abdullah. Sallallahu alayk ya Ibna Rasulullah. I told you Friday, is dedicated to our present Imam, Imam al-Hujjah Ajjalallah Farajahu al-Sharif. Whether you were conscious of it or not, rest assured, brothers and sisters, every night that we held majlis here, Ayatollah Bahjat was saying that everywhere in the world, the flag of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, or a flag, even a black cloth is put up for the majlis of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, that place becomes a branch of the haram of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salam. And anywhere the flag for Imam Hussein alayhi salam is raised, the majlis for Imam Hussein alayhi salam is held, rest assured the host of this majlis is Sahib al-Asr wa al-Zaman, Imam al-Hujjah. He is the host, isn't he? Because the majlis for his grandfather, the only living Imam with us. If the family of a deceased, the family of a martyr read majlis, that is touching the heart much more than a muqri reciter reciting it. Tonight, because it is dedicated to Imam al-Hujjah, allow me to read part of Ziyarat al-Nahiyah. Ziyarat al-Nahiyah al-Muqaddasah is the way that Imam al-Hujjah Jalallah Farajahu Sharif, as he says himself every morning and evening, like tonight as well, every morning and evening Imam al-Hujjah is visiting his grandfather, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, visiting his brothers who were martyred in Karbala. And subhanAllah, the way that he is saying this ziyarah is like he's been there watching the atrocity as it was committed. SubhanAllah. So precisely, really parts of this ziyarah are the best piece of historical evidence we have to describe Karbala and what had happened in Karbala. Every time I read this ziyarat al-Nahiyah, really I have a goosebump and I emotionally relate to it so much. I love this ziyarah. It's very long, of course. I can read all of it. Usually on the day of Ashura, when I'm reading Maqtal, I choose this ziyarah to recite. I think that this is the best accurate record of the tragedy of Karbala. If you don't mind, I say it on the breath. You can repeat with me and close your eyes and let the eyes of your heart tonight be open, brothers and sisters. And along with your Imam, Imam al-Hujjah Jalallah Farajahu al-Sharif, let's send our souls to Karbala and recite and visit Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, inshallah. Rest assured that this ziyarah will get back to you, come back to you, inshallah, when we are all buried in our grave. It's a time that we really need the visitation of Ahlul Bayt, alayhi salam. The Imam begins like this. As-salamu ala Adama ya safwatillahi min khalifatah. And then gives the salam to all the prophets until he comes to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. As-salamu ala ibn zamzam wa safa. Look at your Imam. He himself, he says, when I'm reading this ziyarah, not only I'm shedding tears, I'm so much touched that as if I'm shedding tears, shedding blood from my eyes. As-salamu ala khamis ashab al-kisa. As-salam, my salam is due to the fifth of the Ahl Kisa. As-salamu ala gharib al-ghuraba. My father was martyred on the plain of Karbala, so lonely. None of his brothers were alone. None of his children were around. As-salamu ala al-maghtu'i al-wati'i. I can't see my father, Imam Hussein, who was severed from his neck. As-salamu ala al-muhami'i bila mu'in. How much he cried for help. As-salamu ala sakin Karbala. As-salam, my salam is due to the one whose body was left on Karbala. As-salamu ala al-shayb al-khadir. My salam is due to the one whose beard was stained with his blood. As-salamu ala al-mazloom bila nasir.
says the Imam and continues. Until now he's describing to us the last moments of the life of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. Look how he precisely describes the scene. فَأَحْدَغُوا بِكَ مِنْ كُلَّ الْجَهَادِ. That I can see now you are surrounded. 4,000 shooters are targeting one body. وَأَثْقَنُوكَ بِالْجِرَاحِ. They are inflicting you with wounds after wounds. وَأَنْتَ مُحْتَسِبٌ صَابِرٌ. You are counting all of these for the sake of God patiently. How can a son stand watching that his father is under the hooves of the horses? Your body, Ya Abu Abdullah, can see under the hooves of the horses. وأسرع فرسك شاردا إلى خيامك. Now I can see your horse riding back towards the tents, قاصدا facing towards the tents, محمحم الباكيا. I can see your horse with the saddle upside down, with no rider, crying. فلما رأينا النساء جوادك مخزية. Imagine the scene. Ladies, they hear the noise, the voice of the horse, and now they are coming out hoping that they can see their master Hussein. But the horse without the rider. ونظرنا سرجك عليه مطوية. They see, Ya Allah, the body of the horse is so stained with the blood. The saddle is upside down. Zainab was sure that she no longer has a brother. برزنا من الخدور على الخدود الاثمات. They were striking their faces, wailing, crying. وبالعويل داعيات وإلى مصرعك مبادرات. Now look, Zainab is running towards the Maghdal. Somebody stops her. Say the team of Mawlati, don't go there. Ya Malaikat Allah, don't let her get close to her brother. Ya Allah. As she is arriving, Imam al-Hujja is narrating. I'm just reading it. وَالشَّمَرُ جَالِسٌ عَلَىٰ صَدْرِكَ. Imam Zaman says, I can see Shamir sitting on the chest of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. What for? مُولِغًا سَيْفَهُ عَلَىٰ نَحْرِكَ. He's putting his dragon into the chest of Abu Abdullah. قَابِلٌ عَلَىٰ شَيْبَتِكَ بِيَدِهِ. Holding the beard of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. ذَابِحٌ لَكَ بِمُهَنَّدِهِ. Sayyid Zainab arrives looking at the scene. Can't continue anymore. عَلَىٰ لَعْنَةُ عَلَىٰ لَغَوْفِ الظَّالِمِينَ. وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون. أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء. 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 بجاه محمد وآل محمد وبحرمة الفاتحة مع الصلوات. اللهم صل على محمد.